Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. The authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy all the way. Okay, well, as promised, I have Dr. Wale Ismail here. And I also mentioned that Dr. Wale Ismail is a senior lecturer and researcher in leadership, peace and development education, King's College, London, United Kingdom. Good day to you, sir.
Good day, Lisa. Thank you.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
You're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right, sir. Okay, so I'm definitely not alone. I have here with me Chris. All right. So we're talking about the United States election. And we're looking at it from the perspective we want to see Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Who is better for diaspora Nigerians? But the first question I have is, what is your take on the United States election?
Based on if the polls were to be correct and going by historical patterns, the polls on average have been off by around 2 to 3%. It favors Biden even in the tighter, you know, even in the battleground states.
Okay.
But you know, election is what it is. So I'm sure by this time tomorrow, we'll know, you know, how things are shaping up. It could either be a landslide or it could be a nail biting, you know, election for, you know, a landslide for Biden or a nail biting one. So we'll see. We'll see what it throws up in terms of the outcome of the election. Now, in terms of who is better for Nigeria and who is better for Nigerian diaspora, I wouldn't say with all confidence at this point in time, because Nigerian diaspora has never been the focal point of any campaign policy issue or policy document highlighted by the two parties. But we can look at the multiply effect of some of the policies that they've spoken about in relation to how it might affect Nigerian diaspora, you know, or people from African diaspora in the States. For example, Biden is, I'm sure, will bring America back to the table. It will strengthen American ties and engagement with allies in different parts of the world in Africa. It will stop the hardline immigration policies of Trump. No doubt about that. And it will be less, how would I put it?
Combative.
It will be less, it will be less combative, and it will be less right-wing. The right-wing thinking of America belongs to a particular group of people, mm-hmm. whites or something like that. So if it is less of all of those things, then it's bound to be good news for Nigerian diaspora. But if Trump were to win, it would be Trump presidency 2.0. Mm. So all the things we've seen in the first term, it will take it to a whole new level in the second term. Intensification of, because he would have seen this election as a referendum in the first term, and he would have seen it as a mandate to even do a lot more in terms of the path, you know, the roadmap he's traveling on. So, and that would mean, you know, a whole lot more difficulty for Nigerian diasporas in terms of bringing relatives or families to come and visit them, in terms of even the opportunities that they, you know, opportunities to break even, you know, will be further limited. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's where I look at it in terms of the trickle-down effect of their respective policies.
Well, just like the impeachment did, after the Senate absolved Trump, it emboldened him to do worse. That's what I see that you're saying now. That the election will be a referendum. Right, that's what it is, right? There's going to be a referendum on him. And but if he were to win, endorsement.
It would be an endorsement or an approval for him to continue doing what he has done. So you get an intensification of the hardline immigration approach. You know, you might see the Dreamers being deported. You might see, you know, further restrictions on issuance of travel visas to Africa, people from Africa or African countries. You might see further restrictions on African students, Nigerian students, studying in the States. You might see, he's talked about ending the automatic rights citizenship for anybody born in America. He's talked about all of these things. Yeah. Many of the things he's mentioned, it's really going to be, a bit more difficult than what it has been.
But really, do you see what are the what are the positives that you see at all about Trump? Any positive at all?
In terms of Trump or in terms of
Trump, the administration?
Trump,
Biden.
Administration, Trump. Now, Biden is okay.
But you can't say that.
Positive. Well, let me put it this way. We have to go beyond just Nigerian diaspora. Then we have to look at positives for Nigeria as a country as a whole.
Yeah.
Trump was the one that started selling military hardware to Nigeria. You know of the Super Tucano that he sold to Nigeria, and it's facilitated some military related assistance to Nigeria, which because of what we call the Patrick Lee Act, Obama refused to do. Because of fears that some of the equipment sold to Nigeria might be used for human rights violation by the security forces. So that act, Obama, was blocked. It wasn't Obama as a person, it was blocked by Republicans in Congress. Now, Trump has sold that to Nigeria. I think we are getting the first set of two Patucanos, between now and the end of the year, thereabout, and that could be a good addition or even a game changer for our battle against Boko Haram. So that in itself is a positive. The second positive I see is that America under Trump is less interventionist in the affairs of other countries. Trump has focused a lot more about America being and putting America first, so meaning America, is less concerned about intervening in other countries, but even fighting less war and all of that and bringing the soldiers home. So the fact that America is less intrusive in the internal affairs of other countries, at a level, is also a positive for Nigeria, because sometimes America's, we know of what happened in Libya, we know of what happened in some places, and how America and its allies, intrusion or intervention in those places. Those places are in ruins now. In traditional conflict, and international relation analysis, we do say that where you see foreign countries intervening, it leaves ruins rather than progress. You can point to Iraq, you can point to Libya, you can point to quite a number of countries where they've gone in with the so-called wanting to come and remove a dictator and bring democracy, but we've seen what has been the outcome. So in that instance, maybe yes, but for that positive, I think Trump hasn't really focused on Africa. Of course, there are a lot more negatives, and we don't even need to talk about that.
Yes.
He hasn't really prioritized Africa as much, compared to, some of the many of the things that Obama started in relation to Africa, support in relation to malaria, area and a few other, interventions. Some of it, instead of being scaled back or being cancelled, under Trump. He hasn't really prioritized Africa, I must say. He doesn't even have any Africa policy as such. So, but in terms of, Nigerian diaspora, it's also not really prioritized. It's not single that Africa and Africans have not been his priority, let me put it that way.
Okay.
But of course, he has the race problem, race issue at home, which if you put that into context, it adds to the list of negatives when it comes to a Nigerian diaspora in the States.
Mm.
Now, well, from what you said now, as a Nigerian, comparatively, I think I'll root for Trump now. Because for even if it's just those weapons that he has allowed us to buy, which Obama denied us, God bless his soul, because he was feeling for us or what have you. But now, Biden is from Obama. Are you with me, sir?
Yes.
Obama, Biden definitely is going to carry on with it in the tradition of Obama. And so, do we have more hope or better hope with a Biden presidency or Trump presidency from the premise you've already established? Just now?
I think for Africa and the world generally,
yeah.
A Biden presidency will be a better fit. America is. You know, is needed in the world. America needs, the world needs an America that is going to engage with the world. America occupies the position whereby any lack of interest in global issues, global affairs, would create, you know, creates a vacuum. Things drag. I mean, you look at, you know, if it were to be an Obama as the president of the United States with what you have with COVID, I mean, we had a similar thing with Ebola, and the quick response of America under Obama was what, you know, the U.S. assistance in keeping Ebola in the areas where it broke out was very crucial.
Okay.
So I think for the world at large, for Africa at large, I think a Biden presidency will be better. Not even only that, you know, some of the pressure on African head of states, you know, in terms of democratization, in terms of human rights violations and all of this, Africa still need that stop to pressure. I'm not talking about intervention or, you know, invading or anything. But if you look in the last 10 years, the quality of governance in Africa has kind of declined in terms of democratic practices. Elections now either leads to crisis. How many elections are really free and fair now? Exactly. So, you know, all over again, Africa is, you know, election is becoming, or your democracy is becoming, you know, a nightmare for many African, you know, citizens. You also look at, you know, dealing with global security problems, the ones in Africa. You know, I think we need an America that is globally engaged, an America that is not retreating into its cocoon, an America that is not thinking of America first and America only, because that is what we've had under Trump. It's not just America first, it's America only. But a Biden presidency, you know, that reaches out to the world, engages the world, of course, you know, still protecting American interests is what the world needs. And I think for Africa as a whole, I think for even in terms of values, ethical values, you know, the values of decency, of integrity, the values of being, you know, having somebody who is the proper statesman at the helm of affairs, you know, projecting value of respect, you know, value of toleration, of tolerance, of differences, values of promoting international cooperation as opposed to international, you know, breakdown of consensus that we've had under Trump. I mean, a Biden presidency will, you know, will be a plus, you know, in all those regards. But either way you look at it, Trump too, you can also say there are a few advantages here and there. But when you weigh it on the balance, I think a Biden presidency will be a better fit for the world, for Africa as well.
Correct. So you believe that? Well, I mean, you don't need to tell me you are voting Biden. How many? Are you with me, sir?
Yeah, I'm with you.
You are voting for Biden. You know, that goes without saying now.
Well, I'm not an American, and I'm not voting.
Okay, you are not eligible to vote.
No, no, it's not.
Okay, what?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
I'm based in the UK.
Oh, sorry. Forgive me. You know, but
even but I follow, and it's part of my job. It's part of my work.
Yeah,
life. You look at, that's why we're having this conversation. If I, if I'm not following, if I don't, I mean, we've looked at what this would mean,
yes,
myself and my colleagues.
Exactly.
So we've looked at it. So, I mean, I think it's for the American citizens, the American electorate.
Yeah, I know.
To elect who they think, you know, is the best for their country at this particular point in time.
All right. So obviously, I mean, that I won't stay around away from it. If you had your chance now, you cast your lot for
Biden
anyway. So, but
I mean, if I'm an American, I would decide on the basis of who I think is better for, you know, for the country. But I'm not an American, so I'm
now
not.
You're talking like a politician.
But I'm talking as an analyst. We provide as much objective, you know, information, analysis as possible.
Yeah.
When people vote, all manner of consideration comes in. Sometimes it's not about objective analysis. Sometimes it's about, you know what, I just don't like this guy, the way he looks or the way he speaks. Even if he says all the right things.
Correct.
So, you know, emotional and other consideration comes in when you have to vote. But if you are not voting, like I said, it's easier to analyze things and just, you know, leave it at that.
Let's talk a bit of development now. You've talked about, I want to even say the weapons they gave us, some one way or the other, is related to development in some box. But generally, under Obama and under Trump, those development assistance they gave, who do you think did better than the other, Trump or Biden or Obama?
Yeah, I don't think it was Obama as a person that stopped the sale of the weapons to Nigeria. It was blocked
by the Republicans. I understand that.
Yeah, it was blocked. I mean, it's not just because it was bipartisan. Effort to block it because of concerns over human rights violation by Nigerian security forces. So it wasn't Obama as a person. I mean, Obama was willing, but the way the sale of major weapon system works in America is once you sign the contract, but the president, the two countries, president to president, sign the contract. When in America, the Congress has to approve it. So if Congress does not approve it, you cannot sell it because it's a transfer of technology, the transfer of military know-how and the rest. So it was blocked in Congress.
So
it's not really about Obama as a person. But beyond that, Obama did a lot more. You know, he had specific Africa, you know, focused policies. He was on the continent. He conveyed the first U.S. Africa summit, you know, in Washington, where he brought African leaders together, and he put a lot of money, he built on what President Bush Jr. did in terms of providing aid, you know, medical assistance and development assistance to many African countries. Obama increased, you know, those aid and assistance to African countries. He started the leadership mentoring program for young African leaders. I mean, he had some initiatives that targeted Africa specifically. So you cannot compare Trump with Obama in terms of Africa. Of course, some of us feel that maybe Obama could have done a lot more, but even what he did, Trump did not, you know, cannot match it. You can't even compare. You know, Trump has scaled back. Trump has scaled back American assistance, you know, to Africa in Africa, you know, to Africans. He scaled it back considerably. I mean, did you, maybe other than a time when Secretary of State visited Africa once, but there about, in 4 years, was there anything Trump had or any initiative he launched on Africa or anything?
Nothing.
Even the U.S.-Africa summit that the second one that should have taken place, it's not happened. So it's not taking place. So you can't really in any way compare Trump with Obama when it comes to Africa. You can't.
Okay, let's look at well, this is just, the election is ongoing, and we don't know, even though we suspect, you know, where the pendulum will swing, but so we did in 2016, and that pendulum hit us right in the face, you know. And
on the analysis and the polls and everything.
Yeah, but we had all the analysis and the polls that time. In fact, that time the polls were more excited.
Well, it depends on which polls analysis you are following. But two or three fundamentals, you know, are important to bear in mind. One, Biden is in a better position poll wise compared with, you know, Hillary. Hillary was about 2 or 3% up in the polls, national polls.
Okay.
While Biden is about 8.5 to 9%, you know, up in national polls. So that is on two. If you look at favorability ratings, Hillary and Trump were underwater, were less than 50%.
Yes.
Biden is polling more than, you know, better than either of them.
Yeah.
You know, third is you have COVID,
mm-hmm.
which is a big issue. Five, you know, fourth is that there is no email scandal or any scandal similar to the one that, you know, Hillary, you know, had. And don't forget, Hillary lost the election, you know, just by whiskers, by ears breadth. It was very, you know. So it was election in the swing states of Pennsylvania, in Michigan, you know, in Wisconsin, that more or less, you know, led to Hillary losing the election. She lost the election narrowly. All the votes by which she lost, I mean, in Michigan or, you know, Pennsylvania, she lost by 43,000 votes or something. I mean, there were tiny margins that she lost by. So. And the conditions are also different. Trump is no longer the underdog, the unknown, promising heaven and earth and everything. He's now been in office for 3.5 years. People have, you know, they've seen what he's able to do. They've seen the consequences of his style. They've seen, you know, it's no longer about promises now. He has a record. He's running against, against the record. So the circumstances are different. I would be surprised, you know, if Trump were to pull this off. I would be surprised, you know, if he were to, pull this off. I'm not saying it's not possible.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's not possible.
Yeah.
There is still, based on conservative estimate, he still has, you know, a 1 in 10 chance of pulling it off. And even if he has 0.1%, in politics, any you know, kind of chance is still a chance. So it's not impossible that he's still able to pull it off, but the odds are stacked against him.
Should that happen, well, let's go to that worst case scenario. Even though we pray by God's grace, it will be in the realm of just conjecture. Now, if that should happen, what would be the world we'll be living in a 2.0, Trump 2.0?
I mean, we've spoken about this.
Yeah.
Things will get, you know, a lot more combustible, you know. The U.S.-China relations will continue, the acrimony and, you know, tension and all of that will increase. Similarly, you know, you have, you know, the Russia, you know, closing up to Russia and Putin is still going to be the case. The EU and America is going to have very fractious relationship. NATO may or may not survive. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization, you know, there will be further tension in that. Global trade is going to be massively obstructed. We know of Okonjo-Iweala, America under Trump, is in our candidature at the WTO, you know, so that is still, you know, is still made there. You are going to get a lot of America under Trump going in one direction and the rest of the world going another direction. You are going to get a lot of that. You are going to get a lot of that.
Anyway, so that means it's another nightmare the world can no longer afford this time. You know.
Yeah, for those who do not believe in Trump, it will be another nightmare. But for those who believe in him, they will think it's the best thing to happen to them. So,
do you have Nigerian friends who believe in Trump?
Yes, I have seen analysis of that from Africans because they talk about the economic progress, economic growth opportunities that have come under him while he was in power, the value of the, you know, 41K in America, the stock exchange and all of that. People point to those tangible stuff in terms of material or economic benefit on the one hand.
Are you convinced? But if you also make sense to you, their arguments?
You see, everybody is entitled to make meaning of events, as it happens. Those who make that case, if their priority is to be economically secure and to have more money in their pocket, and they care less about society, they care less about race, you know, race relations, they care less about integrity in office, they care less about the character of whoever is in power, their own is just deliver. I don't care who you are, just make life easier for me. So the people, some people, that's the way they rationalize things, that's their own cost benefit analysis. But others who are a lot more interested in value of society, they care about the future of their children and grandchildren, they care about climate change and what will happen to the environment, they care about the image of America, you know, in the whole world, they care about decency in public office, you know, those who care about, you know, who have those things that as their priorities, you know, they wouldn't want another term in office for Trump. So, you know, you just have to understand where different people are coming from, how are people rationalizing things. And there is no right or wrong. I mean, it depends what is right or wrong or what is good or bad. It depends at the level of the individual where he or she is saying things from. So somebody can come and feel that Trump is the best thing that has happened to him. Another person can say, you know what, is the worst thing that can happen. Nobody is right. Nobody is wrong. It's just each person's point of view. For me as an analyst, my job is to see the reason for those who claim Trump is good for them. And those who claim otherwise also to see, you know, why they would think so. Of course, I can always make a case in terms of my own position and what I think, but, you know, I'm just like any other person, so everybody can make up their mind, and, we all make up our mind based on the information we have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. True. Now, what lesson do you see for Nigeria in all of this? What is the take home for Nigeria and Nigerians in all of this?
A lot of things. One is that despite all the tensions, like Lives Matter, you know, all the things that have happened with Trump and everything else, Americans have not burned down their country. Nigeria, whatever problems we may have, whatever issues we may have, we don't have to burn down our country. I mean, I'm speaking now in respect of the
NSAS
protest. Yeah, there is no justification for burning down our country. Those who might be inciting violence because of ethnic or religious stuff, they have their own agenda. The average Nigerian should not follow anybody that is inciting hatred. You know, you see, I've been to, because of the nature of my job in the last 20 years, I've been to several African countries, or even non-African countries where there have been war. I've been to Lebanon, I've been to Burma, I've been to to Rwanda, I've been to Liberia, I've been to Sierra Leone, I've been to Kenya in the post-election phase, I've been to Ethiopia. I mean, I can go on and on.
Yeah, that's cool.
You need to have seen the impact those who have burnt down their country. They are always full of regret at the end of it. They are always full of regret. And even the little burning that has happened, I'm sure people are already regretting it. So the big lesson is, whatever our problem may be, there should be a way around it without burning down the country.
Of course.
There should be a way around without burning down the country. That for me, I mean, sometimes my true election, like people who don't like Trump now, they use the election to change. If they are more in number, they will be able to change him, you know, get him out of office. Sometimes it may not even be through election, it might be through applying, you know, pressure. You know, when you apply pressure on government, it is not when you go out burning or destroying that you say you are applying pressure. No, I mean, let's not agonize, let's not destroy, let's get ourselves organized, let's have a broad-based national movement. Let's have individuals, even, you know, young people who to get involved in making society better. Let them dare to go into public service. Some can go in as civil servants, some can go in as elected officials, you know, starting from councillor, you know, to, you know, a lawmaker, to be governor, to be all manner of things. So that's where we should start. Nowadays, when I look at the Nigerians agitating for change or wanting a better service, you know, better society in Nigeria, everybody has their eyes on the presidency. Everybody wants to be the governor overnight. No, there has to be a broad-based movement that, you know, that forms a conveyor belt that takes, you know, a new generation of Nigerians into every levels of public service, every levels of public administration. And people can now go in, if people who are so angry with the way those who have been in office, the way they've presided over the affairs of Nigeria, let's put a new generation of young Nigerians there, and let's see, let's hope, let's see what they are able to do. We are already down. So who is down, not fear of before. We are already down. So let's see if the injection of new blood can change things. Maybe, after all, it's easier to criticize from the outside. When you get in, it's a lot more complex or complicated. Maybe Nigeria is so complex that we don't even appreciate the complexity of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you would not know until you get in there. So let's get younger Nigerians into positions. So let them also see. And then let them bring, you know, their new skills, exposure, you know, to tech and exposure to global, the way things are done in other countries. Let's get in there. But if we burn down the country, what is left to govern?
Mm.
What is left to preside over? You want to turn Nigeria into Dubai, and the first thing you are doing is you are burning it down. How will you turn into a Dubai? By burning it down. So for me, that is the biggest lesson, that there are ways of changing our society without burning down our country.
Of course. Of course. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Wale Ismail. You've made some very valid points, and I totally agree with you, and I'm sure that my partner here also does the same. Of course, I've found the conversation very enlightening so far, and I will say thank you. Thank you very much, sir, for your time and, of course, for your contribution.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much, sir. All right. At this point, I say please enjoy the rest of your day.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.